And this benighted century, his mainly folk catalog is hundreds of songs long, and his devoted fan base, hundreds of thousands deep. But now he risks it all coming out of the closet with A.I. Suno, his all-too-real artificial intelligence collaborator. Welcome back to the program, David.
I love that introduction, Chris. Wonderful to be with you.
Well, I've put you right on...
I call my band I Suno.
I Suno. Yeah. I know. And I've put your feet right on the coals with this as well. You know, last night we watched Like a Complete Unknown, you know, the movie biopic of Bob Dylan. And I was thinking of you while we were watching it, wondering, have you got to the stage of facing tomatoes and beer cans at Newport Festival yet?
Actually, I have. Not at Newport, not in the literal sense like that, but I have been accused, like on some comments somewhere on social media, which, you know, there's been a lot of commentary in different directions. And yeah, one of them was saying, like, I was like Dylan going electric. And then, of course, I had to write a song about that with I Tsuno, about Dylan going electric.
Oh, really? I haven't seen that.
What's it called? Oh, no, I can't remember the name of the song. I've been writing a lot of them. I forget. Oh, it's called Judas. Yeah. Oh. You know, there used to be somebody shouting at him all the time that he was Judas. And Ani DiFranco had the same experience touring around and somebody shouting Judas at her all the time.
Well, what did Ani DiFranco do? Did she go electric as well?
I think she dated a guy, you know, she married her sound man, and she demonstrated her lack of lesbianness, and that really pissed off a lot of her female fan base. Yeah.
Oh, you know, no.
Yeah. They were hoping. I don't think they ever got, you know, it happens, this sort of thing.
Well, beyond it going to show that you just can't please everybody, in this iteration, though, it seems to me matters of degree greater than Dylan going electric or Ani DiFranco choosing up the wrong gender in some people's view. What you're doing is it's crossing a line, I mean, in music certainly, but the whole AI frontier that we're standing on right now is so profound. I'm not sure that we're even ready to understand how much it's going to affect our lives. Well, maybe you're better to talk about how it affects the music we listen to and the music that you create.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, to say that it's a double-edged sword would be an understatement, although it's a fairly accurate one, in terms of the danger and the power of this technology. I mean, you know, there's no question about both its danger and its power, and the in terms of the disruptive nature of the technology for every industry that I can think of, and very much including for the arts, every aspect of the arts, music, theater. I mean, not theater, but, you know, music, cinema, you know, any kind of make advertising. Of course, most artists are employed in some form of advertising, you know, commercial business. I mean, that all the jingles, everything. It's hard to even get your head around how much of this is all going to be taken over by highly competent AI, music generation platforms to do a whole lot of stuff. Maybe just everything, but certainly all the music, And there's no way to overstate how disruptive that is, and how, you know, for all of us and in society generally, the future shock that I'm constantly exposing people to every time they hear these songs and realize that there's no humans involved with the performance. People are just completely blown away in both, you know, positive and negative ways, you know, because they can see just how powerful this and disruptive this technology is. But then when they give it a moment to stop, you know, thinking about how disruptive it is, and which is certainly a good thing to think about, you know. But once you realize that this technology is here, the genie's out of the bottle, it's not going away. Doesn't matter what the lawsuits are going to end up being. There's open source versions of this technology already out there. You know, the record companies, understandably enough, you know, want to put the genie back in the bottle, but they're not going to be able to do that. And you know, I'm not saying it's a good or a good thing, you know, but it is here, and all this technology is here, and it's not going to go away. And it's amazing, and its uses for good are amazing. And when people hear these songs that I'm doing, you know, and a lot of other stuff out there, but you know, it helps a lot that I'm writing the lyrics and you know, very much involved with the whole process of coming up with the music, you know, most of which gets rejected along the way, you know, before we get to anything good. But the technology is amazing, and when people hear it and they realize that this music is way past the Turing test, they wouldn't have had any idea if it was, you know, AI or human, and you know, they're blown away.
Well, yeah,
they should be.
Well, I was just reading too. I mean, when you say not theater, I'm thinking, well, why not theater? I mean, you know, who really? I mean, who needs playwrights? Well, CJ Hawk.
It's live theater, I guess. By definition, we got human actors involved, right? I go to a lot of theater where they call it musical theater, but they don't even have an orchestra. It's all, you know, and I'm prepared for that to change. You know, I mean, we're in a new, it's a whole new reality that I think, you know, a lot of us are in denial about. But the reality is, you know, the Turing test in every possible way is being, you know, passed. And certainly in terms of music, that's the case. And it'll be the case in so many other ways. And, you know, all the stuff that people say about, and I also wrote a song about this with I as well, but all the stuff that people say about how they can tell the difference between analog and digital and all these kinds of things people are fond of saying, that's all just going to be going out the window very soon. You know, nobody's going to be anymore pretending that they can tell the difference between what's human and what's AI generated.
Well, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Guerrilla Radio. I'm speaking today with David Rovics, and David's an itinerant musician and prolific songwriter. If you're listening to us and you kind of don't know what the hell we're talking about, good, because that's exactly where I am, and that's where I think a lot of people are. We're dealing with this crossover, David's new band. I don't know what to call it, iSuno. He's made several albums already, and David, you know, when I get your... through Substack, and David's got a site up at substack.com, David Rovics, I got one of your songs, and it happened to be Amazon's Armies of Robots this time. And so I listened to it, and I thought, wow, this is really great. But I just assumed that it was somebody that you knew, that you liked, and you were helping get their stuff out. So I wrote to you and said, hey, David, you know, can I talk to these people and get permission to use their song? And I can't imagine what you must have thought when you read that. But that's how far out of the loop I am. Now, how, David, do you do it?
Well, so, I mean, your reaction is typical, actually, you know, and that's...
Great.
That's
thanks a lot.
And this is, I mean, you know, it is, which is wonderful. I mean, it just, you know, because that's what... That was my reaction to it when I first heard this stuff. I was like, you know, blown away that this was at the production values. In my particular case, the first time I heard this technology in use, it was like I could tell that there was something off about it, and I could tell it was AI because the production values were amazing, but the lyrics just weren't good enough. Like, you could never imagine that any band in Nashville would have to record these lyrics, you know. And I thought, well, what is going on here, you know? And then I asked and discovered that this was, you know, somebody who had, you know, written lyrics that were not all that great, and probably their one instruction was country western, and it was probably suggested to them by the platform, I'm guessing. But I mean, in any case, you know, you can write stuff with this platform very easily that is easily identifiable as AI slop, right? But if you're an artist using one of these platforms, whether you're a musician using a music generation platform or a visual artist or a filmmaker or any number of different forms of art that you have some actual experience in, you know, and you're working with one of these platforms. I don't want to just toot my own horn here. I'm sure there's lots of other people who've had the identical experience, but you know, if you have some idea of what you're doing as a lyricist and you have some idea of what you're doing in terms of what you want to get out of those lyrics, what style of music is going to work for them and what instruments and what pace, and, you know, you can give, you know, it's like vibe coding, except with music. You can speak English to these platforms in your prompts and, you know, explain the style, you know. So I mean, with a lot of this stuff, it's something like Newgrass chanson skiffle with a dark modal sound and satirical vibes, you know. I mean, it'll be those kinds of prompts, you know, and it will be all sorts of different styles and instruments, and but that's the kind of and then, you know, you, unlike with a human band, which will often come up with some really good interpretation for your lyrics right away, because the AI isn't like that. And so it'll often be a bunch of stuff that sounds really bad, you know, 10, 20, 30 times, you know, and then until at some point it really nails it. And, you know, as it is with this technology now, eventually it will really nail it. And then, you know, I mean, look.
So it comes back to you. It comes back to you with version A, and you listen and go, no. And then you re-prompt and say, no, I didn't mean that. I meant this. And then it'll keep cycling through until it finds something, or does it just do that on its own?
It's like, there are ways to actually do remixes of a particular version. And then but what I find is that as it kind of gets the prompts refined, it starts to come up with the same kind of thing, or a couple different categories of the same kind of thing, and then I refine the prompts further. But yeah, it's basically a process of changing the prompts a bit, changing the lyrics a bit, editing them a bit, changing the spacing, because it pays a lot of attention to spacing and how to form choruses and stuff based on how you're typing it out, whether it's two lines or one line per, you know, this kind of thing.
And that's where it gets its meter from, and its rhyming pattern.
It helps. I mean, it partially gets it from that, and partially from all sorts of other magical sources involving scraping the world's music.
Well, yeah, and scraping. Now, when I led into this segment with your song First We Take New York, and the soaring vocals and sounding vaguely familiar, but you can't quite put your finger on what it was, a female singer. You can't quite put your finger on who it is, but it sounds, you know, familiar. Where do these voices come from?
Well, these platforms, just like with ChatGPT and all the other AI platforms, they've just been scraping the world's music and text and film and everything that's out there in every potential form, you know. So back when the big corporations felt threatened by what they called piracy, they were really against it. And now that the big corporations are the ones that are just, copying everything with or without permission, they don't talk as much about piracy anymore. You know, the biggest pirates by far are these, you know, corporations that are doing, you know, getting their data by, you know, listening to and reading and watching everything that's out there on the internet. So, I mean, the question of, like, whose world is this? Whose culture is this? You know, what is the cultural commons? How are artists supposed to survive? How is anybody supposed to survive? You know, how are, you know, people that used to do programming, or doctors or nurses, or, you know, or accountants, or any, you know, people working, booking tickets, or, you know, any number. There's just millions and millions of jobs that are imminently being lost to AI technology all over the world. And that's obviously going to, or already is, including the ranks of huge numbers of musicians. And, you know, I just reject the notion that as a musician who is obviously one of the many victims of these technologies, that the idea that I should remain pure and not use the technology that is destroying our lives. I mean, you know, what else are people supposed to do? You know, I mean, when Spotify came along and, you know, destroyed the livelihoods of millions of people, including me, you know, what are you supposed to do? You know, you can't sell CDs anymore because nobody's buying CDs. Nobody even has CD players. They're all listening to Spotify. So, you know, eventually you join them, you know, and now, you know, Spotify is a significant source of income for me. But that's because they've destroyed all the competition. So what's left? You know, everybody listens to Spotify, and I'm glad to get my few hundred bucks a month from people listening to me on Spotify. But, you know, I miss the old days of CD sales, but they're not going to come back, you know.
Yeah, well, we've talked about that. We've talked about the piddling a sharing agreement that Spotify has. In your article, Suno, Spotify and the Hearts and Minds, you write that Spotify led the way in lowering payouts to artists so they could offer their services for free with ads. And in so doing, they destroyed the livelihoods of millions of musicians. But at the same time, you write, they've made themselves essential to the work and social lives of millions of people. And now AI platforms are doing that as well. And they're becoming, as you say, they're now just a part of the gig. That so like Uber or anybody coming in, wiping out the competition with low, you know, low ball prices until there's nobody left. And then, you know, getting you on subscription fees or whatever else it's going to be moving up. Meanwhile, there's nobody there to provide any.
Yeah. That they wipe out the competition. So then what are you going to do if you didn't want to take Uber because it's a predatory corporation? Well, once there are no more taxis and you need a taxi, you know, then you're going to take an Uber. You're going to get that app, you know. I like to see, you know, what they're doing and what's getting everybody excited about new technologies. And I completely recognize the downside of these technologies. And I think that, you know, that's, you know, since long before I've been alive, there's been huge downsides for all kinds of technology. And I've written about this as well. But like when radio first came around, you know, that was devastating for live performers all over the world. Right. But, you know, then, of course, once you don't have a gig singing at that tavern anymore because they've now got a radio set instead of live music, you know, you don't just, you know, people didn't necessarily just, you know, go do other things. They, you know, some musicians kept on playing music anyway and tried to get gigs, you know, on the radio, you know, singing on the radio or doing radio shows, even though they might have just wished that radio didn't exist at all. And it's, you know, very much the same with all these other technologies, you know, from television to, you know, music streaming platforms to AI music generation. You know, the downsides to all of them are just absolutely huge and pretty obvious. But the upsides potentially are absolutely amazing. And, you know, and there's so many potential, you know, cases in point, I guess, but just from the reaction that I'm getting from songs that I've been putting out there just in the past few weeks that are addressing different issues, you know, that the sort of uptake, you know, has been really quite something. And I wonder if partly it's because I'm not the recognizable person singing it. I don't know. The production values are really good. I don't know what explains it all, but it's certainly very affirming to my suspicion that this music is really good. I mean, you know, but at the same time, all of these songs that I'm doing, none of them are complicated, you know, even the way that, you know, they may be kind of fresh in terms of different sounds and stuff, and maybe some of the different sounds would be hard to reproduce, but the general chord progressions and melodies are not, you know, any kind of a big departure from what I would normally be doing. So, you know, people, I could be singing these songs live. I haven't learned them, you know, how to play them on guitar and sing them live, but I could be, but I hadn't thought about it. Other people could be doing it. There is somebody who is intending to learn one of the songs to perform live already out in Massachusetts.
So what, Asuno Unplugged?
Yeah, exactly. Asuno Unplugged, yeah. 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 And of course, they're all, it's true and tragic that we don't have live music at protests hardly at all anymore in this country. And I'm very curious to try to understand how that happened and why that happened and how we can revive this wonderful tradition of having live music and culture of other kinds, puppets and all sorts of things at protests instead of this sterile atmosphere. But at least what it often does happen at protests is somebody brings some kind of a Bluetooth speaker. And, you know, so if that's what's going to be happening, I figure, okay, well, at least I can provide content for those Bluetooth speakers. And this kind of content actually works better than just about anything because of those production values. I mean, I could record stuff with my, you know, voice and guitar, but it's not going to be good for playing through the Bluetooth speakers in that kind of environment, you know, not unless it has bass and drums and a big band behind it to fill out the sound. And that gets really expensive and time consuming. And it's wonderful stuff to be doing if you got the time and money. What you can do with these AI music generation platforms is, well, you can serve the people with them. You know, and you know, at the same time, while they're destroying all our lives in other ways, you know, but the technology is not going to go away. You know,
I remember Macklemore. You know, his anthems were played that way, although not AI, as far as I'm aware, to great effect during the 2 years of the slaughter that we've been going out and protesting weekly all over the place. Yeah. Let me get it right now. It's iSuno, right?
iSuno. Yeah, like tsunami, T-S-U-N-O.
So now when I credit you, should I credit you David Rovics / iSuno or David Rovics with iSuno or is David Rovics disappearing like Ziggy or something?
Right?
It's just going to be iSuno in the end. iSuno.
I think it depends on whether my critics are around or not. You know, like I just got an email from somebody with the Starbucks workers union who was wondering about crediting and sharing the song and using it. And you know, actually, it might be better not to mention my name. You know, then all the people that don't like me for one reason or another, you know, don't have to not like the song because I wrote it. You know, they can just
wrote an essay about you, a little thing, not an essay, but a multiple choice test for people that, and they can choose whether they want to use all means, or, you know, to win hearts and minds. They want to boycott Spotify or boycott AI-driven music platforms or boycott corporate platforms. And then you at the end say, no, I added a little comment to that saying, hey, what about indie media? Why not I go back to indie media? David, we're fast running out. Do you remember that at the 2000s and that it was so great? And then poof, it was gone.
And then came Facebook you know, the term that Cory Doctorow uses. I'm not sure if we can. It's a podcast.
Yeah, shitify.
Shitification. Yeah, which me and iTsuna wrote a song about as well called Inshitification.
Well, now you've got your albums out. How do people listen to them? How do they find them? And they can make up their own mind whether iSuno is worth it. I think they're fantastic songs. They're really great. And not to say that all your other stuff isn't great, but it's like David goes to Vegas or something.
I'm having so much fun singing as a female and also you know, experimenting with so many different styles that I normally don't have access to, you know, instruments that I don't have and don't know anybody who plays, you know. Yeah, it's a blast.
It's amazing.
DavidRovics.com/i-suno, or if they look for iSuno on we're on the various streams.
And I is spelt cheekily a capital A small I T S U N O I Suno.
I mean, and the name is a Japanese female's name. I
know, that's what I thought at first because I knew an Aya, a Japanese girl named Aya, and it was like, oh, you know, I just thought that's what it was. And I know you've got connections to Japan, so I assumed that you were. I don't know what I thought.
I don't know why she's Japanese, but that's just how it. I mean, I know that I wanted to sing with the voice of a female because I've been singing in the voice of a male for 50 years or whatever it is.
You sing with Camila too, though. I mean, that's, you know, doing backup vocals, but
yeah, right. But
does this mean that Camila is out of work now?
Well, I mean, writing a lot with me and Kamala and Chet. There are definitely musicians out there who I'm used to doing a lot of remote collaboration with who are like feeling neglected. And, I need to get back to, you know.
Well, you are starting to remind me of Bob Dylan. Jesus. Well, okay, David.
It's an obsessive kind of thing, though. You know, you discover something new. When I first discovered Angry Birds, I did nothing but play Angry Birds for 3 months. So, you know, this eventually it calmed down. And this will too, you know.
Well, I think so. What shall I play us out with then?
Oh, let's see. Let's see what. Gosh.
What, Judas or
Oh,
something?
Judas. Oh, there we go. Judas. Yeah.
Judas? Okay. In deference to Bob Dylan past and
yeah, since we keep on mentioning Bob, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that movie, it was not a bad movie, actually, but, you know.
It was very good, I thought. I mean, I reviewed it before I saw it because I was kind of expecting it to be not very good. But it was better than I thought. But you know, what I thought in the first place was if they don't really go into the context, the whole scene that was surrounding him,
right?
You won't be able to understand the guy. But they did a pretty good job of that.
You'd have to understand.
Better than I thought.
Edward Norton's Pete Seeger with that long face,
great.
You know, like, oh, and it just said it all, the whole hopes and dreams of the folk revival and going down the tube as Bob strums the first chords electric. And they didn't go into the band, though, Robbie Robertson and all that. They just kind of stopped the story there before that happened. But I was a little disappointed not to see the band show up, but I guess that would have been too much.
I mean, the whole thing that interested me about the movie in the first place was just the sort of showing the Greenwich Village folk scene in the early 60s, which is what I understood it was going to do anyway.
And I think, you know,
better than I thought.
You know that film from a few years ago about Llewellyn or something? The guy that was Bob Dylan that never happened?
Really good.
That was great. I thought it really showed that, the Greenwich of the time. That was really rich.
Yeah, and the character that it was fashioned after, at least what I heard, was Dave Van Ronk. And that was a great movie. Yeah,
they should play those two together. That would really be good bookends to get a complete sort of view of what's going on, and even the Chelsea Hotel. David, it's been a joy to speak with you. It always is. DavidRovics.com, and good luck. And I'll play it. And right behind us, you'll hear Judas by Isuno and parentheses David Rovics in small print.
Thank you, Chris.
Okay, David. Talk to you the next time then. Good luck.
Wonderful. You too.
Adios.
You're allowed to do certain things, then watch the trouble it brings. If you don't stay where you're supposed to be, you want to learn to sing like me. If you want to give your damn music away, be careful of the tools with which you play. One moment you're riding a chariot, the next you're Judas Iscariot. Oh, Dylan went electric, honey dated a guy, but I'm the brand new Judas, singing with AI. What crazy notion made me think I should try to communicate how the dark of night, listen to the critics growing shrill. If they were thinking straight, they'd chill. Ha! I'm one of the laughing Buddhas, but you can call me Judas. Thing I'll do mine. What were they saying with number nine? I know the secret of this old game in Judas' name. Around this earth, it's an awful fact for what it's worth. And while we shouldn't be keeping score in Gaza, it's a slaughter, not a war. In Ukraine fighting you've been Russia, then show.